Today is Wednesday, November 28th. This is the Women's Chumash Year. We're doing Sefer Bereshit. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Zayin. Basically, we'll be starting with Pasuk Tezvav after wrapping up the previous topic. Okay, Rabotai. Last week, we spent quite a bit of time seeing several philosophical approaches as to the significance of the mitzvah of milah. The back of the sheet, in addition to that, also had certain, in the packet that we gave out last week, certain halachic discussions that emerged from the text that we are reading today. So before we move on with additional text, I wanted to cover some of those issues today. Yeah. So if you now look at, for a second, remember in the midst of the mitzvah of milah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I described my responsibilities of the Brit. Now you, Avraham, have to fulfill your responsibilities of the Brit. And Avraham was told to circumcise himself, his children, and all of the members of his household. All of the members of his household. And we had mentioned why all of the Gentile members of the household must engage in circumcision. So I told you about Chazal's perspective. I want to reiterate that with a comment on page number 1 by the Radak on the left-hand side of the page. So, the comment is made on the pasuk, Himol Yimol Yelid Beitcha Umiknat Kaspecha, that not only shall you circumcise you and your family, but engage not only in circumcising yourselves, Himol, but Yimol others people as well. That's how the Radak will read it. Let's read the Radak's interpretation on the double expression. Himol Yimol Ze she'amar la'Avraham she'yimol kol b'nei beito imo. The double expression is to indicate not that Avraham has to circumcise himself, not that Avraham has to circumcise children who will eventually be born to Avraham, but rather currently the Gentile entourage that might be in his house, he is obligated to circumcise them right here and now. Ki kvar amar lizaro bipasuk shela lifneze, because in the previous pasuk in pasuk yud bet of the text it says uben shimonat yamin yimolachem kol zachar lidorotechem. So the commandment to circumcise children has already been documented. Here it is all future generations of the non-Jews. Asher lo mizaracha hu. And here the Torah says, Va'amar lo shiyamulu b'nei beito imo, k'mo shalimdom derech Hashem, ken ya'asu zu ha-mitzvah shetzivo ha'el. This, here the Radak alludes to something else. What are all of these people, non-Jews, doing in his house? Why does he have all of these people? So as opposed to the text which itself, which indicates people who you have acquired, miknat kesef, those are slaves who you purchased. Very simple. That Avraham, like everybody else at that particular time, owned slaves. The Radak takes it a little differently. It's not just people who he purchased, but it's also the people who he attracted. As we had learned at the beginning of Lech Lecha, here sheyimolu bnei beito imo kimo shelimdam derech Hashem, just as Avraham has shared with them that which God was interested in sharing with Avraham, he passed it on. Those people should now be told, you know what? There is something else that I want you to do. Whatever mitzvot he told them up until now, were probably the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And then, now he's saying, okay, you have another mission, Avraham. Whoever you interact with, whoever is interested in somehow establishing a connection with a monotheistic God, I'd like you to share with them the mitzvah of Mila as well. Now he goes to the other idea. Ki lo yitachein shiyu bibeito shtei emunot. It is impossible that there should be two different faith commitments living under the same roof. Now, in the previous second, he just said that who am I talking about? The people who Avraham had already taught them limdom about Hashem. Those are not two different faiths under the same roof. Those are people who subscribe to a monotheistic God. But he is not denying that the pshat of the pasuk also is miknat kesef, people who you simply buy for money. The assumption is, of course, that it is slaves. And the Torah records that Avraham had lots of tzon, ubakar, and avadim, and gemalim. Torah says that. That he had slavery. So this, the Torah cannot imagine that somebody who lives under the same roof would be from two different faith beliefs. Velo shnei goyim, and not two nations, shiyu miktsatam mulim, page 2, miktsatam mulim, umiktsatam einam mulim. That some of them will be circumcised and the others will not be circumcised, that Avraham could not tolerate, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chimes in as well. And as a result, I am now instructing you right now to circumcise all of your Yilid Beitcha, those born to slaves who are slaves, those who are purchased, they are slaves, and even those who you're going to, get a hold of in 6 years. Whoever comes into your house has to be circumcised. So says the Radak, and all commenting on the double expression of himol yimol. However, the Gemara chooses to take this in a different perspective. So you go to page number 3 for a second. So this is a Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, page 29a, where it focuses and comments on a Mishnah of 6 specific obligations that a father has unto his son. 6 obligations that a father has to a son. To circumcise him, to redeem him, to teach him Torah, to get him married, a trade. And Rabbi Yehuda adds, to teach him how to swim as well. And it doesn't mean teach him how to swim. It means teach him how to swim at that time. Because if you lived in Teaneck at that time, you want to get Yankee Stadium, you have to cross 2 rivers, the Hudson and the East River. So in order to get there, you have to know how to swim, in case your boat capsizes. Today, if this Mishnah were written, it would mean he's telling him, train your child to be prepared for dangerous situations and know how to respond. Today he wouldn't say one word about teaching him how to swim, because you can be a very good citizen and not know how to swim today and nothing will happen. Today would be, don't you dare drive and text. Don't you dare drive and drink. Don't you dare experiment with drugs. That's what Rabbi Huda would be saying is also parental responsibility vis-a-vis a child. But the Gemara then, after the Mishnah lists these obligations, the Gemara goes on for pages and pages to explain the parameters of each and every one. So that's where I bracketed. Lamula, father is obligated to circumcise his son. Minolon, how do I know? Dichsiv, we mentioned this once before. Vayamal Avraham et Yitzchak bino. Avraham circumcised his son Yitzchak. It's in the next parsha that we would do, in Parshas Vayera, which is also read on Rosh Hashanah, after Sarah gives birth, Avram circumcised Yitzchak on the eighth day. I pointed out previously that this is a very difficult source, according to the Rambam, because the Rambam tells us, any source of a mitzvah prior to Matan Torah has no application to us whatsoever. I told you that last week, or 2 weeks ago. Any mitzvah documented before Matan Torah has no relevance to us. We are obligated to observe only mitzvot which were divinely inspired to Moshe at Har Sinai. That's it. As I pointed out last time, there is another pasuk for Mila, which we read last week in the context of a woman giving birth to a child, and the Torah there in Parshat Tazria describes the purification of a woman and the obligation to bring a korban when she has a child, boy and a girl. And there the Torah throws in an innocent remark, Ubayom hashmini yimo besar olato. That technically is the source for us. And it's a little surprising that the Gemara quotes as the source, Vayomal Avraham et Yitzchak beno, which technically doesn't have any obligation to us. But nonetheless, the Gemara says so. Veheicha delo mahale abuha. In a situation where father did not circumcise his child, father wasn't here, who knows, father predeceased, the baby's birth, who knows what it is. Michayev beidina lemim hale. Betin of every local community is obligated to circumcise that child. Dichsiv himol lachem kol zachar. The pasuk says, circumcise every child. Himol lachem kol zachar. And others explain it's basically from this pasuk, which we're studying, himol yimol, that there are two commandments. Himol yimol. Father should, in the absence of father, every local bet din has a responsibility to circumcise the child. We never, I mean never, find such a parallel obligation on a bet din for any other mitzvah. If you will not light Hanukkah candles next Sunday night, Beis Din is not coming here to light for you. If you don't redeem your child when he's 30 days old, no, Beis Din's not coming to redeem your child for you. It's a special obligation in relationship to the mitzvah of Brit Milah. And it's learned out from this very pasuk. Yeah. Then the Torah says, the Gemara says, Veheicha delo mohalei bidina, and if some reason Beit Din was negligent of its responsibility, Michayev ihu lemim hal nafshei. The child is obligated to circumcise himself. That obligation begins when he reaches bar mitzvah. So in addition to getting a bar mitzvah celebration, and we'll call him up to the Torah, right there and then we'll call Katzenstein, we'll do the bris, right there and then. How do I know? Because that is the pasuk which concludes our unit, pasuk yudalid. The Arel Zachar Asher Lo Yimalit Besar Orlato V'Nichrita HaNefesh Ahime Ameha. The Kares, the punishment of Kares for not circumcising, as Rashi pointed out, which we read, is not on the father, it's only on the child himself, that he, as long as he is living, is obligated to engage in circumcision. In circumcision. Now, I want to address for a couple of minutes, because it's important, you, mothers, about circumcising your child. So I'm going to show you what the Gemara says here. I want you to try to ask a question that Tosfot will ask. We'll take a peek in the Shulchan Aruch, how they modify what our Gemara says, and then we'll move on to the next topic. Says the Gemara, Ihi, Minolon delo mechaiva. Ihi, her, wifey. How do I know that mother is not obligated to circumcise her child? The Mishnah says, Ha'av, this is an obligation upon papa. not upon mother. How do I know that a mother is not obligated to circumcise a child? Answers the Gemara. Dichsiv ka'asher tziva oto Elohim. That's the end of the pasuk of Avraham circumcising Yitzchak. Vayomol Avraham et Yitzchak beno ben shmonat yamim ka'asher tziva oto Elohim. As God commanded Avraham. That's how he circumcised. Now, the simple pshat of that pasuk, I can show it to you in 2 seconds where it is. Simple pshat of that pasuk has nothing to do to exclude women. Not at all. It means that Avraham fulfilled his commandment that God had just commanded him right now. God did not speak to Sarai at this particular time. He only spoke to Avraham. And as soon as the first opportunity came about for Avraham to circumcise one of Zaracha, the Torah indicates that. Vayomal Avraham et Yitzchak beno ka'asher tzival to Elohim. He did this in accordance with what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction to engage in this mitzvah. So, I have, from a simple reading of the text, there's nothing difficult, nothing to extract and eliminate anybody else. But that's not the style of the Gemara. The Gemara's style is to try to read things in because they probably had a tradition that women generally did not engage in circumcision for their children. So here they put it based on the pasuk, oto velo ota. Velo ota. Fine. That's the source if you want to know. This is it. Kiddushin 29a. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the mitzvah milah which you know. When can a brit milah take place? When can a brit milah take place? What? After what? 8 days. And when, on day 8 and beyond, when can the meal take place? Only during the day. Only. Have you ever been to a bris at night? Never in your life. Never in your life. What? At a time, you do it before Shia, right before Mincha, right after Mincha, before sundown. And then that's something else. I'm not talking about, the Brit Milah. Can't be done at night. So asks Nechama Tysus' question. You know why a woman can't do a Brit Milah? Because it's got time restrictions. Can only be done during the day, not at night. Give me another mitzvah which you happen to be exempt because it's only during the day and not at night. Give me another mitzvah. Tzitzis. Tefillin. That's why you're not obligated to wear tzitzis and to wear tefillin. Those mitzvot are only during the day. So Tosafot asks a very simple question. Why do I need the Gemara's forced reading of oto velo ota? You want to know why women are not in this parsha of Milah? It's like, not hundreds, but 10 other mitzvot, 12 other mitzvot. Mitzvot aseh shehazman grama. That's Tosafot's question. Let's read it on page 4 for a second. This is Tosafot commenting right on that page of the Talmud that we just read. Oto velo otai, bracketed, that's the caption. Ask Tosafot. V'intoi marit lo defreg in akasha. That's exactly how Tosafot said. If lo defreg in akasha, v'intoi marit, if you would like to ask. Loma li, it's a contract, loma li kro. Why do I need a pasuk to infer that women cannot serve as a mohel? Typically, let us learn it out. The mitzvah aseh shehazman gramah. It's a mitzvah bound by time. Now, Tosis doesn't say because it's only during the day, not at night. Why? Shinimol b'shmini l'leigasa.
That is
How do I know that it has a time restriction? Because the text says it has to be by Yom HaShmini. It can't be by Yom HaRishon, can't be by Yom HaSheni, can't be by Yom HaShlishi. It's got to be Miyom HaShmini. So based on that, it's automatically considered Zman Grama. So Tosafot says, V'yesh Lomar, I'd like to answer, Kevan de Miyom HaShmini V'hala, Ein Lo Hefseik, since from the time of day number 8, the mitzvah has no interruption. You can do it all the time. Lav Zman Gramahu. The mitzvah of Mila is not a mitzvah cessation Zman Grama. Tosfot believes you can circumcise at night. And there is indeed no interruption. Once the mitzvah gets started, that's it. For the rest of the kid's life, day or night, parents or the child himself can do it day or night. So if it's day and night, and you look at it when the mitzvah starts, it's triggered. Once the mitzvah is triggered, there's no end to that time. So Tosafot believes that it's not a mitzvah tasashas man grama. Therefore, what did they need to eliminate women? The pasuk, oto velo ota. Everybody disagrees with Tosis and says, what's he talking about? You can't do a mila at night. So they have to have another explanation as to why mila is not considered mitzvah aseh shahazman grama. We're not going to do that today. I can take another 4 hours trying to answer that, give you 5 other rishonim and achronim who all try to put perspective. Just wanted to give a little flavor as to what might be the dialogue. Yes?
Is Zman Grama in general, like, very specific time? Or does it have to be within 2 hours? Because a yom is a big time frame.
Can do it according to Tosfot.
I know.
There's no
in general. Like, it seems like it's a long time frame to allow to have a person in it. From the morning all the way until it gets dark.
Yeah, so that's okay. But it's not Zman, but it's still Zman Grama. Because as soon as it gets dark, that's it. If there are any time restrictions, same thing with lulav. Lulav
of the day,
only of the day, not at night.
Okay, so that's not too big a window.
No, not at all. Now, just to see the conclusion, go to page number 5 for a second. Page number 5 for just a second. Yes.
Okay.
Good. So that's an excellent question. So instead of focusing on lighting candles, which is only the Rabbanan, ask the question on Kiddush. Kiddush is a mitzvah mid'oraita, and it only comes once a week. That's Zman Grama. So why are you obligated to observe the mitzvah of Kiddush? Says the Gemara, because you're obligated to observe the negative aspects of Shabbat. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Now, so the Gemara has a drash. Whoever is obligated to observe shamor, which is the negative, is obligated to observe the zachor. Negative mitzvot, everyone, women included, are obligated to observe, even if they are time bound. It's only positive commandments which are women are exempt if they are restricted by time. So you are obligated, just as your husband is, to make Kiddush every single Friday night. In fact, some even claim that if you don't dap marv on Friday night, you are obligated more than your husband. Because your husband dap marv, and he fulfills the mitzvah of Kiddush by davening marv. Then there is a rabbinic mitzvah to say it al hayayin. Your obligation is the oraita, because you didn't dap marv yet. So, there's a whole discussion about it. Another example is the mitzvah of eating matzah. You're obligated to eat matzah, even though it's time-bound. Why? Because you're obligated to observe the Isur of Chametz. And the Torah in one pasuk says, eat matzah and don't eat Chametz. So the Gemara learns, anyone who is obligated to observe not to eat Chametz is obligated to eat matzah. But where there is no such reference, such as shofar, sukkah, lulav, those mitzvot. You are exempt. You can do them, should do them. You do do them.
We aren't supposed to do lulav?
You don't have to.
You don't have to.
No. You don't have to have kiddush shofar. What a shock. No. Absolutely not. I know today, thank God, women have adopted almost every mitzvah asei shemal zaman grama that I can think of, other than talus and tefillin, but certainly this seasonal yomim tov, they do everything. Spartan and Ashkenazim? Yeah.
Women.
Yes. Our Spartan women don't make a bracha when they do it, though.
They don't do a little nesrach
with Spartan
women.
Well, yes, they do.
But they don't make a bracha.
They don't make a bracha on any, when they come to the sukkah, they don't make a bracha. They don't make a bracha on any mitzvah which they perform, which they are not obligated to, because they follow the Rambam, who says, you can't say vitzivanu if I'm not vitzivanu. We, Ashkenazic Jews, follow the Rabbeinu Tam, Yaakov, Rashi's grandson, who says the vitzivanu refers to Klal Yisrael, not you specifically. Klal Yisrael has been commanded. In fact, I'll just tell you something of a proposal by Rav Yoel Ben Nun. Rav Yoel Ben Nun is the greatest Tanakh teacher today in the world. He's the rabbi of Rabbi Liebtag, and he's the great. He's a rabbi. He's a Tanakh teacher at Grus at Gush. So he once proposed that today, looking at women who observe all mitzvot ase, or many mitzvot ase shezman grama, the halakha should change. And say, for the following reason, you do not look at the fact that it's mitzvah time, restricted by time, that your time doesn't allow you to perform the mitzvah. Why are you granted an exemption? Because it's time bound. Because you have enormous responsibilities to your family, to your pishers, and so on and so forth. So because the halakha took into consideration your familial responsibilities, they grant you an exemption. Today, women fulfill their familial responsibilities and are, you know, CEOs of big businesses. Nobody looks today that I can't fulfill a mitzvah like this because I'm so preoccupied with my family. It's not true. And most women observe mitzvot aseh shezman grama. And therefore, he is suggesting that we obligate all women today to take a Kabbalah. From here on in, we are going to accept every single mitzvah aseh shezman grama. So you will be obligated in Kriyat Shema. You're exempt from Kriyat Shema. You'll be obligated to daven three times a day. But then, you'll be obligated to sound the shofar. But then you can be the Baal HaTokei on the shul too. Why not? Because you're obligated just like men. You'd be able to be the Shliach Tzibur. Yeah, be the Shliach Tzibur. The only reason why women can't be shul, because they're not obligated. But if they're obligated, like the Rambam says, a woman is allowed to read the Megillah for the shul. Because women, even today, are obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. So a woman can read the Megillah for every child, for every shul.
I thought that they couldn't because of Nida. Nothing to do with
Zero. Kol Isha has nothing to do with it. The Rambam didn't say they can't do it because of Kol Isha. Mm-hmm. Never said it. In fact, he says they're allowed to read. They're allowed to read. Our practice is not to, because there is an opinion that says, nobody knows where he got it from, that women are obligated only to hear the Megillah, but not read the Megillah. So their levels are not equal. The Rebbe once said, what little bird whispered that into the Bahag's ears? And the Shulchan Aruch, of course, picked up on it. It says women should not read. But according to the Rambam, every woman can read the Megillah. What? But you have to be Mechuyav in order to be Yotzei to Shomei HaKa'on. So you can do it according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, if you beat a Baal Tokeya, you could be motzi everybody else. If we were to adopt this principle of Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun, that you would accept the responsibilities upon yourself to observe every mitzvah aseh shezman grama. So
If this happens, I'll see you at the 6:30 or the 7:30. Talus and tefillin in hand. Talus and tefillin in hand. Think about that if you want to say yes.
Does he have a following?
Yoel ben Nun?
I mean, in terms of this.
In terms of this, it's a very small group thus far. Thus far. Rav Yoel ben Nun, I'll give you another. He's so creative. He said, you know, if you eat a heck of a meal, steak, mashed potatoes, and salad, you know, what do? You make a bari nefashos. Why? Because according to the Gemara, bread was considered the main part of the meal. Does anybody consider bread the main part of a meal today? We barely eat bread when we wash on Friday night. Take a piece of challah and that's it. That's not the main part of the meal. He suggested that when you eat meat, you should say berachat hamazon on dinner, whatever you're serving for dinner. And he spoke to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Zerchano Levracha, and Rav Aaron said, you're 100% right. But I can't be strong enough to change the minute of my parents, my grandparents, and all of Klal Yisrael's minute. So what Rav Aaron took a neder on for himself, he's going to wash for every single meal. Because basically he's right. I want to make myself obligated, not because of the bread, but I don't want to change the tradition completely. So he washed for every single meal for the rest of his life after Rav Yoel ben Nun made that thing. But he's 100% right. What? And he made a motzi because he washed. Even though Rav Yoel said you shouldn't have to wash in order to say Berchat HaMazon. Because that is the meal. Right? For you it's the salad, for me it's the steak. It's the meal. You should have to make thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not Borei Nefashot, which includes 50 different little things. For a glass of water, you say Borei Nefashot. For a couple of grapes, if you have a snack in the afternoon. But if you're eating a meal, you're having salmon for lunch, bench, say Berachat HaMazon. Say Berachat HaMazon. Rav Yoel. That's a creative thinker, no doubt.
What does he say that you don't talk shady? Now you're talking.
You don't need Rav Yoel then. I also say that.
Are you being taped?
What?
Yes. Taped today?
Yes.
Of course it's being taped. Yes, of course it's being taped.
I have no compunctions about. Yes. What? That is correct. Because he wears a little funny thing. He has a suit jacket that has four corners. And he puts scissors on. It's not a rounded edge corner. He has four corners. There's a corner in the front. It's a regular corner. It's a corner in the back. It's a regular corner. So he puts scissors on. Okay. I haven't seen too many other people do that. But, okay. That's a little taste of Rav Yoel. And as I said, he's the most creative parshan in Chumash today. Today. Rabbi Liebtag is good, but we've heard him hundreds of times. He is just unbelievable. If you have nothing to do in the summertime, and you have 4 days, treat yourself to the Gush Yom Iyun, 4 days of Shiurim in Tanakh. By hundreds of people. It is the greatest experience that you could possibly have. The Chama goes every year. Every single year. 4 days of Tanakh at Yeshivat Har Etzion. And you'll get exposed to the greatest Tanakh teachers of this generation. It's great. They have revived Tanakh studies. When we went to school, maybe the girls, but they didn't open up a Tanakh. And my father asked the Rosh Yeshiva, and I said, why? They didn't study Tanakh in Europe, in Brisk and in Kletz. They didn't study Tanakh there. So, never learned the word in Tanakh. Okay, Lama Gein Vayter. Enough. Every once in a while you need something. Says the Mechaber. This is Kala. Hakol Sheirim Lamu. On page number... Not numbered. Page number 5. It usually comes after 4.
even though not here. Hakol, I'm bracketed. Hakol Kshirim Lamul. Everybody is qualified to circumcise. Afil Eved, a Gentile slave, but who's living, he's accepted some mitzvot, like we always said. Isha, a woman is acceptable to circumcise. Katan, a minor, is permitted to circumcise. The Arel Yisrael Shemetu Echav Machmat Mima. A Jew, abiding Jewish citizen, who is uncircumcised because two of his elder brothers died during Mila. They were hemophiliacs. And they couldn't stop the bleeding. So the halakha states that for the third time, we do not allow them to take a brit milah, because it would be endangering their life. And under those, so pikuach nefesh is doicha everything.
He's pacha, but he's accepted in class.
Of course he is. 100%. There's nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. Because the halakha tells him, you are not allowed to circumcise yourself. Not allowed.
You hear stories about that today.
What?
You hear stories about that today.
100%.
Hemophilia, it's not.
100%. Today, there are medications that they can deal with. So if the doctor says, you can try. But if the doctor says, no, we don't do a breast meal. 100%. You have to go to a good doctor for this. Can't allow the money to make a decision. That's if you know it. What?
That's great.
Okay, so today, that's a good question. If we have definitive information, and a doctor says that the first child is going to die, we don't do the bris mila even on the first child. The reason why they had to wait till the third, because they didn't know. They didn't know what the hemophilia, they didn't know. Just 1 second. And in fact, I'll tell you something else about this halacha. Normally, in order to establish a pattern, so that we operate on the pattern, there is a debate between Abaye and Rava. Do you need 2 times to establish the pattern? Or 3 times? Correct. We pass in like Rava that you always need 3 times to establish a pattern, and then on the 4th, you operate based on the pattern. Except when it comes to potential death. We don't take a chance with the 3rd one. Maybe Abaye is right. And we, after the 2nd time, if again, there's no medical information that you can operate with, we do not allow such a person to engage in brit milah. Okay. Yes?
It says Eved here.
Yes.
The Eved is, in theory, he's not, the obligation is on the owner. In other words, why
no, this is an Eved who converted. Eved Kena'ani. Good. The obligation is on him. Because he is obligated in all mitzvot of the Torah except for mitzvot aseh shezman grama. Well, we post-vot and all those say that Mila is not a mitzvot aseh shezman grama. So an Eved is chayiv unto himself and to others to circumcise himself. And it's Jewish. Therefore, he's in the parsha of Mila.
The owner of Eddie's chayav for him.
Those are people, that's correct, but at that time, they didn't yet necessarily have the process that they converted partially already, and that they accepted the responsibility of all mitzvot, except for mitzvot aseh shezman grama. However, in Yesh Yisrael Gadol Shiodeh Lemul, if there is an adult who knows how to circumcise, who kodem the kulam? An adult goes before a child, before he didn't say the woman. He said an adult. He didn't say anything about a woman. He didn't say anything that any isha is no good. He didn't say if there is an adult male. He says inesh gadol shiyodeh lamul, as opposed to the minor, as opposed to the slain, then that person goes first. Now comes the Ramah. The Ramah, in the next line, where it's the little print, that's the Ramah, who codes the Ashkenazic tradition. Karo, as you well know, was a Sephardi.
So he codes the Sephardic tradition. The Yesh Omrim, says the Rama, the Isha Lotima, that a woman should not circumcise. It doesn't say Asur Lamo. She should not. And then skip all the parentheses. V'chein nohagin. And this is our practice. Lehader achar ish. Mazel lehader? What? This doesn't mean to beautify. It means to search after, to make the effort to find. We'll look around for a man. Even the Rama would say, if there is no man available, and a woman who is trained how to do this, and it's the eighth day of the little Pesher's life, you let the woman go ahead and do the meal. You do the meal. And of course, everybody draws support from this, from the pasuk that we learned last week. I showed you the episode in Parsha Shmot with Tzipporah. Tzipporah circumcised her child. So, if we can learn from Avraham and Yitzchak, we can learn from Tzipporah. And that's what all of the commentaries explain, why Karo permitted it even l'chatchila. Didn't say you have to go after a man initially. And even the Rama says, best to find a man. But if you're going to be out of town someplace, and it's a Shabbos bris, and this male ain't sleeping over, you know, we're lucky here that we have Mohalim on Shabbos and people. You don't have to go to, Mozambique. Fairlawn does not have a Moel who lives in town. And Constantine says, I don't come for Shabbos. That's it. Your headache. So they have to import somebody who's willing to come on Shabbos to Fairlawn. Or make the bris somewhere where there is a Moel. So it's not that far. Fairlawn, New Jersey does not have a Moel, a resident Moel in town. So now, listen to this. Aval oved kochavim afilu hu mahul lo yimoklam. But a mohel who's a Gentile is not permitted to engage in circumcision. And the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk that we read. Open up your chumash for a second. Look at pasuk tet. Pasuk tet. Vayomer Elohim el Avraham. We read this about a month ago. Ve'ata et biriti tishmor. You shall observe my covenant. So the Gemara learns from this phrase. Mi sheshomer habrit yachol lamul. If you are in the parsha of what? Of circumcision. If you engage in circumcision, you can circumcise. The Gentile community is not in the mitzvah of milah. They might circumcise themselves for health considerations. They might. But it has nothing to do with doing it l'shem mitzvah. As a result, a Gentile should not circumcise. However, Karo says, the imol ain't sorach lachzor v'lamul parashenit. If he did circumcise himself, an adult, any child, you don't have to circumcise the kid a second time. What a great chiddush.
No. I know someone who converted.
Well, that's one second. It's the next line. Karo says you don't have to do anything, even if a Gentile circumcised. Because in practicality, there's nothing you can do.
What about
the Mesisa? Nothing you can do. That's it. Says the Rama, no. V'yesh omrim dechayav lachzor ulahatif mimenu dambrit. This is what we do. We are Ashkenazic Jews. And I believe even the Sephardic world also does this. Namely, you bring the person and just make a little incision that he should bleed. Bleed a little. That's all. That's what we do. That's what every potential convert who is an adult, who may have been circumcised in the hospital, whatever reason, this is what we do. You bring a mayel, he does have tafrat dam brit, and that's it. V'chein ikar, and this is the way we should conduct ourselves. However, there is another Jew who was treated like a Gentile. Mumar lechol haTorah kula. If somebody is a mumar, anybody know what a mumar is? A rebel. A moreh. He's a kofer. He doesn't believe in anything. Lechol haTorah kula. Or, o shehu mumar la'arelut. He observes every single mitzvah, but he refused to circumcise his child. None of his kids. He refused to circumcise himself if he was not circumcised. Not interested in this mitzvah. Such a person, dino ke'ove kochavim. This Jew was treated like a Gentile for the purpose of Brit Milah. Brit Milah. Just one more second. Just want to get one, take one case. This halacha is subject to a phenomenal, important machloket between the Rav and Rav Moshe Feinstein. There are other halachot which make you into a mumar l'chol haTorah kula. Normally, if this person says, you know what? I don't wear tzitzis. I don't care about wearing shatnez. That doesn't mean he's lost his halachic trustworthiness to do mila. Doesn't mean that he's lost halakhic trustworthiness to cook you a meal and you're allowed to eat it. Because even though he doesn't wear tzitzis, doesn't mean he doesn't believe in shatnez, but he has observed the laws of kashrut. There are only two mitzvot, which if you don't do those two mitzvot, it's as if you're a rebel for the whole Torah. Avodah Zarah. If you worship Avodah Zarah, you can... You can claim that I'm as good as Satma Hashgah. You don't eat it. And then, Mechal Shabbos v'fahesed. Somebody's a Mechal Shabbos. So, this is a very difficult question that I get very often. I have neighbors, friends, who we have invited to our house, and now they reciprocate. And we invite, are you allowed to eat there? It's a tough question. But if the people are Mechal Shabbos b'Fahesya, and they know better, it's not that they were born in Utah someplace, but they know what the mitzvah is, technically you can't eat. So the question is, what happens about their wine? So Rav Moshe says, you can't, if they touch the wine, you can't drink the wine anymore. Okay, that's correct. But if it's not mevushal, you can't drink the wine. And the Rav always said, the Gemara doesn't really mean that a Jew who was Mechal Shabbos is a real Gentile. And the Rav said, you can drink the wine handled by a Jew who is not Shomer Shabbos, you can drink the wine. Sometimes he said the Gemara means it seriously, such as by Mila, but by things like so there is a fundamental debate. Rav Moshe does not allow a Kohen who is Mechal Shabbos to duchen. Does not allow a Kohen who is a Mechal Shabbos to duchen. Because Chil Shabbos means you're a mumar l'chol haTorah. So how can you allow somebody who's a rebel to a kohen? He's going up to Berachas Kohanim. The Rav said every kohen who was mechal Shabbos should duchen. 100%. If they're in shul already and they want to duchen, we should encourage them to duchen. Because he's not exactly a Gentile. He's not a Gentile yet. So this is a very interesting perspective. And here, you can see, it's not that women don't have the opportunity to engage in Brit Milah. They may not be chayav. That is true. Not may not. They are not chayav, obviously. But they can satisfy the requirement of Brit Milah according to Karo Lichatchila, according to the Rama, only Bidi Eved if there is no man available.
So I expect some of you to register right away in a Mila class. You'll go to London, as I mentioned last time, where you, in a month you can do 20,000 Brit Milot on Muslims, and then you can come back. You are the Shabbos Mayo. You'll move to Fairlawn. They'll solve the problem. Yes?
I want you to know, how do we define a Muslim? Is he considered a guy?
No. Yeah, of course he's a guy.
I know, but
he's not a mumar la'avodas kachavim.
Okay.
Because they don't worship idols. Yeah.
What happens if a doctor who is a Muslim...
Circumcised? He's still a Gentile. He does not... He might circumcise himself. And they do. Muslims circumcised.
Yeah.
Yishmael did. Because that, but it's not for the mitzvah.
No, but I'm asking if say, a doctor does it to a boy and a child in a hospital.
We will still require hatafat the brit. Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
Muslims do it as adults.
Yes.
Yes, not at 13.
No, at 13. That's when Yishmael did it. Yeah. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop here. We'll continue next Devach, regular time, despite the fact that it's Chanukah. Regular, back to the Chumash.